at the top of our program, 5%. That's how many African American students in Michigan were rated as proficient in eighth grade math this year. The latest data from the National Assessment of Educational Progress shows students of color in the state are falling drastically behind their white peers in every single subject. And while the racial achievement gap is a problem across the country, Michigan consistently ranks as one of the worst states for African American students. Here to talk to us about what's behind this troubling disparity in Michigan schools and what can be done about it is Dorinda Carter Andrews. She's an associate professor in the Department of Teacher Education here at Michigan State University, and her research focuses on race and equity in education. Welcome to Current State, Dorinda.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a picture of how Michigan compares to the rest of the country. We're led to believe we're down the list quite a ways.
That's right. Yes, that's right. You know, nationally, over the past 25 years, African-American student performance has increased. So I think we should start there with there has been improvement. And yet still here in Michigan, while we have seen some gains, we still drastically lag behind the national averages in reading and math at the fourth and eighth grade levels. And so there's a lot of work to be done.
What are the biggest areas of concern when it comes to academic performance of African-American students in our state? What are they?
You know, I would say they are in those areas of reading and math. We know from the research that reading, literacy, and math are just core fundamental areas for future academic performance. And nationally, even this year on the NAEP, Black students scored about 18% proficient in reading at the fourth grade level and 19% proficient in math. But as you said, Michigan was drastically below that. And so we've got to think about what are those early indicators, early programming for Black students in particular, but for all students so that they can have those high literacy and math skills as they progress through the grades.
We are investing more in early childhood education in Michigan. Is that judging by your last comment, that sounds like something that you are definitely behind?
Most definitely.
And would that play a role in closing this gap?
I think it would. In fact, we know that lack of quality preschool education is one of the biggest indicators to underperformance for traditionally marginalized students and low-income students. And so if we could invest in strategic ways into quality preschool education and other types of early childhood education programs, certainly then when kids enter kindergarten, it will be a much more level playing field. Mm-hmm. Right now, we don't have that.
There is this big gap when it comes to test scores, but what about other measures of success? Say graduation rates or college readiness?
Yeah, I think those are also very important factors that contribute to the underperformance and disparity, particularly for African American students. Graduation rates are up nationwide. They're at 71% for Black students, but Michigan is 10 percentage points behind that. We're at 61% for graduating African American students. And so while some would say, hey, that's good improvement, that's insufficient, right? Mm-hmm. So we want that number to be higher. It's certainly not comparable to white student graduation rates in the state. And so we want to look at that as well as college readiness indicators. So thinking about access to rigorous coursework in middle and high school in terms of advanced placement courses. We know in our states, traditionally, Black students have not had equal access to those courses. But research studies show that when students do have, particularly students of color, have access to AP courses and the necessary supports to do well there, they do better in college.
Dorinda Carter Andrews is an associate professor in the Department of Teacher Education here at MSU. We're talking about the roots of the racial achievement gap here in Michigan schools and what can be done about it. Can we presume then that a lot of other states are just doing a better job in some of the areas that you're talking about than than Michigan is?
I think some states have identified research-based interventions that are working for them. I still think we do need to scale up nationwide. We know things like Promise Schools work, AVID programming, the Advancement via Individualized Determination program that's been in place over 30 years, has certainly proven to be successful in schools and districts across the country. But still nationwide, and when we talk about the academic success of African American students, there is so much more we could be doing.
The results of the 2015 MSTEP test, it's ironic you're here today because the results were just released yesterday.
That's right.
They seem to mirror the national assessments. Black students scored anywhere from 21 to 32% lower on MSTEP subjects than their white peers on average. Does the achievement gap in Michigan vary geographically? Does it vary significantly from one part of the state to the other? Do we know that?
Well, what we do know is that schools that are under-resourced certainly have larger academic achievement gaps. So schools in more higher needs area where students are more low income and marginalized by financial resources and other kinds of resources certainly lack in terms of their skill readiness for schooling. But even in districts where the average community member is middle and upper income, we still see those racial achievement gaps. So in one way, we can say that there are environmental conditions connected to poverty that disproportionately affect African-American students and other students of color. But there have to be other factors as well, because when we hold socioeconomic status constant, we still see that gap. So that leads us to think about things like cultural bias, both at the classroom level and in the way we develop and implement policies. So we can't negate those factors of cultural bias and discrimination.
Well, let's stay with what's happening in the classroom. I mean, what's happening in kids' lives outside of school is obviously also really significant
here.
But to stay in the classroom for one more minute, what factors in the classroom are contributing to the racial achievement gap here?
You've
alluded to implicit bias,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah, that's a great question. And implicit bias, that being those unconscious biases that teachers may have that they're acting on in terms of their instruction, how they call on students, how they lesson plan, how they decide to seat students in the classroom, et cetera, what opportunities for leadership they provide to some students and not others. Those things certainly have a stake in the academic performance of students of color. But Mark, all of that bias and discrimination is not unconscious. And so we do want to make mention and name those instances where teachers are operating with lowered expectations for students based on ill-informed stereotypes that they have for how they've been socialized in society. So that's not a blaming of teachers, but what it means is we have to invest in strategic, long-term, systemic professional development that helps teachers and administrators really examine some of those conscious and unconscious biases that they might be employing when they relate to and interact with students, and how they can work against those. And so that's oftentimes an uncomfortable subject, or we'll do a diversity training for one day, but there's no research that shows that kind of training shifts and changes teacher pedagogy and practice.
How early on do we see a gap in achievement between Black and white students? Do we know when that starts to
Again, it
unfold?
Starts as early as preschool. And again, access to quality preschool education, I think, is what's significant. So there are some districts here in Michigan that don't have public preschool programs. So if I'm a parent living in that district and I can't afford to send my child to a tuition-based preschool You know, what are my options? We find that oftentimes those preschools and daycares where you have to pay for those, there's going to be a higher level of quality curriculum in many cases. And so districts that don't have state-funded preschool programs need to work to implement those.
Dorinda Carter-Andrews, again, an associate professor in the Department of Teacher Education at MSU. We're talking about the roots of the racial achievement gap here in Michigan schools and what can be done about it. Another facet of this discussion when we talk about inequality in education is the fact that even in districts with majority Black and Latino students, you still have a teaching force that is often mostly white.
That's right.
Does the diversity of the teaching force impact the achievement gap?
Most definitely. I mean, certainly when students who are traditionally marginalized in society come to school and also feel that marginalization in the school culture and climate, it does help if there is a teacher in front of you who looks like you, who sounds like you, who culturally behaves in ways that may be similar to yours. And so while our teaching force is nearly 85% white, middle class, and female, we have got to do better in diversifying that racially and ethnically, because we know our public school student population is increasingly becoming more ethnically diverse, nearing 50%. In many areas and over that in a lot of areas. And so if I am constantly in a school culture and climate where there are not adults in positions of leadership that look like me, research does show that that has a psychological, an emotional, and even sometimes a physical implication for Black students and other students of color in the classroom.
A physical implication.
Sure.
What do you mean?
What I'm talking about there is that, you know, students, when they are in predominantly white classroom environments, students of color may be less likely to raise their hand because they are subjected to stereotype threat. This idea that I might know the answer to the question, but if I raise my hand and by chance get it wrong, I will actually confirm the negative stereotype that's in the air that my peers and I think my teacher have about me. So instead of actually fully engaging in the learning process, we find through some research that students of color will disengage and actually underperform in learning situations because they are concerned about those negative stereotypes.
You've done work in districts all over the state, including
yes.
here in East Lansing, and you've alluded to a number of reforms that that should take place.
Sure.
Talk to us just about a few more. What are some of the specific reforms that you've encouraged school districts to adopt that you haven't touched on already?
Yes, I did touch on the AVID program, and I'll speak specifically about East Lansing this year under Superintendent Robin Thompson, who is new to the district. The district has implemented the AVID program. So I think we're anxious to understand how that program that takes students who are C learners, what we call average learners, and encourages them to enroll in more rigorous coursework and then provides them with the necessary supports and extracurricular courses like effective note-taking skills, time management skills. When students are in those kinds of courses and a program like AVID, particularly students of color, they are shown to perform better in high school and then go on to college persist. So AVID is one. Another program is the National Math and Science Initiative that we know nationwide NMSI has really worked to address the declining number of Black and Latino students who are going into STEM fields. Okay, and so they have scaled up this program that started in Dallas, Texas, to now be operating in various states. And so I've recommended to school districts here in Michigan, if you're really concerned about increasing the number of African American students who are encouraged and motivated to go into STEM disciplines and take advanced placement courses, you need to look at research-based proven programs like AVID and NMSI. The other thing I'll say very quickly is that we know that Black students are overrepresented in the discipline gap, and ways to address that are to look at restorative practices. And so in many districts, we don't have positive behavior intervention supports that are culturally responsive and sustaining. And so we've got to use restorative discipline practices as another mechanism to fight these access and opportunity gaps.
A lot to think about.
Yes.
We want to thank Dorinda Carter-Andrews, Associate Professor in the Department of Teacher Education at Michigan State. We're talking about the roots of the racial achievement gap in Michigan and what might be done about it, what should be done about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.